Welcome. Welcome. I'm going to bring Coach Ashley up and then we'll get started. All right. Welcome. Here we are. Today, we're focusing on the after an OBS, what's next? So Coach Ashley is coming on the screen. Hi.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. So we're here to talk about what's next. And who better to do that than with NoBS Coach Ashley and myself. Ashley is a really longtime member. And as you know, a new NoBS coach, I'm a longtime member. I've been a coach for a couple of years here at NoBS. We're going to take you through the pathways and talk about what could be next, but we're also going to give you a bunch of tips and tricks and hacks and things that work for us to share with you. I would like to make sure that you change your chat to everyone. Usually when you come on, it starts with host and panelists and or some other version. Make it everyone so we can all see your brilliance. If you have any questions, please put them in the Q&A. We're both going to be in the chat and we're going to both be in the Q&A. But if you have a real question of us, we would love to answer it through the Q&A so we can answer it live for everybody. Robin, congratulations on finishing the foundational course, NoBS weight loss course. So Ashley, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to be here with you. I think I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and show the pathways really quick before you and I get talking. Is that okay with you?
Sounds good.
Good. Okay. So let me just pull that up here. My goodness. Do I have all the things open? Do I have all the things? So my saved screen, of course, didn't save. So you are looking at what? This Safari situation. Yes. Can everyone see the homepage of the website with the six steps? Is that what you see too, Ashley?
Yes, I see it.
Fantastic. All right. So when you log in to nobswomen.com, as you know, this is the homepage. And so there are a couple of ways to get to the pathways. Right here in step six, it says finish NoBS, choose your next pathway. If you're more of a menu item like person over here, it says step six, finish NoBS, choose your next pathway. So either way you can get there. I'm going to go ahead and click on it right here on the website. So as you can see, there is our fearless leader and the foundational pathway, the NoBS weight loss course, is of course at the top. And then let's just go through what else is possible here. So the first thing I think that's really important to say is if you know the area of focus for you, trust yourself, right? You can go right into a pathway and we're going to talk about what courses are in what pathway. If you aren't sure, we have this button in the middle of the screen. Click here for a quiz to determine your next pathway right here. It's fun quiz. Ashley, you just took it. What pathway did it tell you to go on?
It told me to do managing urges.
Was it right on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So for those of you who are not actually sure where you want to go, that is the place to go. Click the quiz and see what the recommendation is. If you want to just explore the pathways yourself, you can come right down, click on a pathway, and you can see what happens. The pathway opens up and it tells you what courses are on that pathway. So as you can see, Nailing the Basics takes you back through the NoBS weight loss course basics by going into Basics 2.0, then the 24-hour plan deep dive, and then taking big ass action. And Ashley, I know that's like one of your favorite courses, so I'm going to ask you about it in a minute. Okay. And then if you are interested in managing urges and you want to see what's inside of that, you go back into No BS module 3, also step 2, self-sabotage course, and then trusting your body. Trusting your body is my personal favorite course. And then understanding my thinking pathway takes you back into No BS module 2 for a review, and then self-love and relationships. And we have a lot to say about this pathway later too. So, and then last but not least, the ditching the scale drama includes stalls and plateaus, the regain solution, and conquering the scale. Honestly, you really can't go wrong in any of these pathways, right? Don't you think so, Ashley?
Totally agree. All of them are amazing.
So I just wanted to give you a quick review. This is not really about a call about choosing pathways or anything like that, but I wanted you to familiarize yourself with the pathways so that you could see some of the things that we're going to talk about together here. So, but I want to say again, trusting yourself is the most important thing. So if it's obvious to you what area of focus you want to go on, go for it, right? Like, don't second guess yourself. But if you're not sure, we have the quiz. So I've got to just like go for it, Ashley. Like, I know you love the big ass action. So like, I know that comes from like your knowledge whorishness. So, and you've talked about being in passive action. That's really comfortable for you because you're really into knowledge. So how did you get yourself out of passive action and into big ass action?
Well, a lot of journaling at first, as to, you know, why I wasn't going, you know, doing the massive action, but staying in passive action. As you say, it was my comfort zone. That's where I'm comfortable. But when I kind of looked at like my overall goal, just breaking it down into doable actions was like the game changer. So, you know, we have a weight loss goal. And then, so I broke it down, the weight loss goal, into like, you know, by month, how much weight should, you know, do I want to lose per month? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of broke it down even further, like what actions do I need to take to get to that monthly weight loss goal, or even the weekly weight loss goal. So just kind of taking the time to come up with those doable actions. Because when they're doable, then it's easy to kind of, you know, get to your goal. And so, yeah, doable actions was the game changer for me.
So when you say doable, you made them small enough and doable enough that it didn't feel what, like intimidating? I don't want to put thoughts and feelings in your mouth.
Yeah, but they were so easy that it was like, easy to do and hard not to do.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. And so I guess I want to say before we continue, you and I both identify as still being on our weight loss journeys. Like, I'm exactly midway. I started at over 350 pounds and I think I want to lose maybe another 80, but I've lost 90. So you're in your journey too, right? Do you have a long-term goal you want to share with us?
Yes, I want to lose, right now it's 100 pounds.
Okay.
And so, yes, I'm still on my weight loss journey. I've regained the weight that I've lost, and that's, you know, I'm working through that, but yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Of course.
So what next? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, yes, of course. So let's see. Julie, I have a question for you. So understanding your thinking pathway sounds like your jam. You love, you know, your thinking, the thought work. Cool. Who do you think that pathway is right for?
Well, I think it's right for anyone. Like, well, let me back up. So first of all, yes, it is my jam. And it's sort of like, let's be real, right? Like, who wants to dive into thinking or like have to realize, you know, recognize that you have all these thought errors? And so like that pathway, I think, is for anyone who's kind of like resisted acknowledging their thinking, whether you have lots of judgment or, you know, any sort of what you identify normally as negative thinking, what I did was realize how many thought errors I have. And, you know, that pathway has self-love in it. And so teaching myself how to love me today, the way that I am in this body, like I had this idea that like nothing would be good until I had a different body. Like then I would be worthy of this incredible life. And I had to just decide I was wrong. And sorry, I'm like all emotional about it, but I had to decide I was wrong and like start to build like a love and trusting relationship with myself today. And that's when I started that path to that radical honesty with myself. And what that looked like was questions like this. So if you applied it to doable hunger, it looked like asking myself, am I hungry? And answering the truth, like no bullshit. And then, so I would say, no, I'm not hungry. And then if I decided to eat, I had to choose it instead of it like happening to me. And so I would ask myself, you know, am I hungry? I would say no, or I would say yes, depending. And then I would ask, what do I want more than food? And then I would ask, can I sit in discomfort knowing I'm not hungry and wanting to comfort myself with food? And, you know, I would tell myself, yes, I can, but I didn't believe me. Right. I totally like, I'm like liar, but I was willing to just keep going. I didn't really need to believe me. I just had to keep going. So sometimes I had to tell myself like, no, I can't. I have to comfort myself with food. And then I would, and I just had to decide that was okay. When that happened, it was okay because the honesty piece took the heat off of it by willing to say to myself, like, no, I'm not hungry. I'm still going to choose to eat. There was like no space for the judgment anymore because it was a choice. I don't know. That was really like the power for me, honestly, just like that radical honesty where I told myself the truth and I stopped lying to myself. So, oh, sorry. So, okay. Not too dissimilarly, you kind of experienced like fear of success, fear of unknown. And like early on in your no BS journey had insecurities. Like what did you use? I'm grabbing a tissue, people. I'm crying. What did you use to work on that?
So honestly, those thoughts still come up. Like the fear of, you know, success and the fear of the unknown. Cause like I said, I've regained the weight that I've lost. And so, like I said, a lot of journaling, a lot of journaling. Journaling to me is like the game changer because I can get all the thoughts that are like in my mind, like swimming around out on paper, and I can see them. And then I can help, that helps me process them. But fear of success and fear of the unknown, like it's not just with weight loss that I, you know, have those fears. It's just with, you know, life in general. We all fear the unknown. Like what if like it doesn't happen, or what if it does happen and I don't feel like I thought I would feel. And so, like I said, a lot of journaling, a lot of, you know, I have like stickies everywhere with like my new thoughts that I want to think. And one thing is like, I want to, like, what stopped me is like, I don't, sometimes like the belief is not there. And so I have to, like Corinne says, like, you don't have to have belief. Like, you don't have to have it yet. You just have to keep going. And so keeping going is what is like the key for me. Like, even, I mean, I keep going through the fear. I keep going, you know, through the doubt. And I've proven myself wrong so many times. So it's just, you know, that, you know, like you said, trusting yourself. I, you know, I'm learning how to trust myself, and it's helped me, you know, keep going through the fear. Like I said, there's still some fear there.
So what, like practically when you were working on trusting yourself, like actionable item, like what you journaled and wrote about practicing, to tell me a little more detail, like what exactly did you do when you had no trust in yourself? What was like a first doable step to practicing learning how to trust yourself?
Honestly, it was like holding on to the belief that other people had the belief in me. Like Corinne, she holds the belief for everyone, like all the women in this membership. And so do the coaches. And so I kind of latched on to like, okay, so they believe in me. So one day I know I'm going to believe in me. So just kind of latching on to that belief and, you know, letting my self know that it's okay that I don't believe in it right now, and writing about it's okay, I don't believe about it right now. But what are like, I also looked for like the evidence of my success and, you know, the evidence of I can do this. Because when I started OBS, oh yeah, I lost weight. The four basics worked. So I have that evidence there. So yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Let's see. I think I skipped ahead. Sorry about the self-love. So I'm going to go back.
Let's go back.
Okay. So it says, let's say, Julie. So I know that you used to comfort yourself with food when you were feeling, you know, the physical and emotional pain. So what did you use in No BS to support you with that work?
I would say like trusting your body course and the Now Plus Nurture process. So that's the managing urges pathway now. And that really has been the most truly powerful work that the second it was offered to this exact moment, including this morning, that is the work that I have done. And let me kind of explain it to you. So for those of you who don't know me, I know Ashley does know, in 2007, I took a fall and I lost the use of my right hand. And in that experience and those seven surgeries and all that physical therapy, I was in so much physical and emotional pain. Like I thought my life was over. It was very dramatic in my head about it. And at the same time, I was a really strong, kind of powerful woman. And I just didn't understand myself. Like I identified as being weak and like I didn't know how to feel the feelings that I was truly having. And so I really kind of, through practice and experimentation, I had to learn how to comfort myself without food. And it was so practiced, like literally like all day. I just ate all day. It was like, I thought it took my pain away for a short period of time. I was 100% wrong. Like that was 2007. It's 2023. Like still have physical pain, never went away. The food didn't take it away. So after gaining like 150 pounds, I had to stop and be like, okay, like you're still going to be in pain. So now what? And I taught myself techniques to comfort myself. I recently talked about this on a call, but I created this image of an infant in my arms, like how a mom holds a baby. And when a baby is really upset and like they've eaten and they've gone potty and they've like slept plenty, but they're fussy. I imagined myself like that, just in pure discomfort. And then I would put my hand on my own like neck, chest right here, and I would rub it just like you would rub the back of a baby, or pat it like you would pat the back of a baby. And I like whisper to myself, sometimes out loud, but mostly in my head, like, you're okay. You're safe in your own body. Like, you're okay, Julie. You're okay. Like exactly like you would talk to a newborn infant. Like, you're okay. You're going to be okay. You're safe. Everything's fine. And just allowed the feeling to rush through my body from like head to toe, toe to head, and every direction in between. And that sensation that I created for myself, sometimes I would rock and do it. Like, that was really when I got in touch with like my body and my feelings, and really just practiced allowing and that course honestly has changed my life, like in the most powerful way. So
it's a good one.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it. Cause like that is really just like my jam. So earlier you were talking about, wait, look at me, I'm all crying today. Isn't that funny? I'm no Corinne up here crying usually. And today I am, man. Like, let's embrace the tears.
Yes.
So earlier you were talking about the scale and like when it comes to weight loss, like self-love, like literally all of the things that you're challenged with on the scale, what do you do to take back power before you get on the scale?
Good question. I practiced this morning because Saturdays are my weigh-in day. And so I usually are, so I do like my weekly assessment before I weigh in, just to kind of, you know, see like what worked, what didn't, what I think didn't work, how, you know, I can also how, what I want to work on next week. And so I do that first. And then like, I'm like, okay, let's collect this data because the scale is just data. It's just a number. So I was like, okay, it's time to collect data. So I'll get on the scale. I see the number, I write it down, and then I'm like, okay, so we have the data. So this morning I was up. So what I did was I went back to my data, which is the habit tracker, is amazing. I'm just throwing that out there. And I look back and I'm like, okay, so what contributed to this, you know, this scale going up this week? And so I look back at my data and I'm like, okay, so then I have a game plan. So I just look at it as, you know, it's just data. Like it's the scale no longer, I'm not, you know, emotionally tied to the scale anymore because the scale just tells me a number. It doesn't tell me anything about me. It doesn't tell me about my worth. It doesn't tell me about, you know, it doesn't tell anything about me except a number, my, you know, my gravitational pull on the earth. That's all it tells me. Exactly. And so once I realized that was like, it, you know, I had to have that conversation first though. Like I had to do the work. So, you know, that, what is it? It's the scale, the conquering the scale, that course is gold.
Yes, is gold. Exactly.
That skill drama. And we all do. We all have it. And I'm not saying the thoughts are not there. Like when I get on the scale and I see the number go up, I'm not saying the thoughts are not there anymore. They are there. However, they're in the back of my mind. The volume is turned down now. And so yeah, it's just data.
I've had tons of scale drama too. And I have a couple hacks. Like, so, I mean, I don't have as much scale drama now, but it's because I did tons of thought work around the scale with the four ends, and I'll kind of get to that. But I literally, one of my biggest tacks was standing on the scale backwards. So I would get on the scale backwards, and then I would literally not be able to see the number, which would be like, why would I bother with that, right? Well, because I wanted the practice of getting on the scale and talking to myself positively. And then I have a Fitbit Aria, which is a smart scale. So it sends the weight to my phone anyway. So it's capturing the weight, but it allowed for me to not see the number and like give myself all the celebrations for all the things I did and what went right and what I want to work on for the next week. Then I would step off, turn around, and step back on. And then sometimes I would put a sticky note over the number and do the same concept, like stand there on the scale, not being able to see the number, talking to myself positively, giving myself good feedback for the week, then peel off the note with my toe and look at the number. But here's the thing. This is also where that radical honesty came in, because like, I wasn't willing to like have a negative conversation with myself at the scale anymore. So it was like, okay. Like I am going to create this moment where criticism, like there's no room for it. So how I did that was like, stand at the scale with the four ends, you know, notice the thoughts that would come up immediately. I'd be like, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. It's like, Okay, well, sure. I didn't do those things. What did I do? Like, why do I go straight to what I didn't do? You know, when the number's like down, I'm telling myself how great I am. But when the number's up, I'm like a slayer, you know, like Michael Myers there. It's like, come on already. So that was the moment I had to work on with my four N's, and I would have the worksheet there. Before we had the worksheet, I did that work, noticing my thinking, normalizing it. Why is it normal that I thought that way? Like, I had practiced that thinking forever, that the scale defined my level of success. And so when I thought those thoughts, I would neutralize them down to like, it's a number on the scale, just like a number on a calculator, just like a number on a microwave, just like the temperature on an oven, just like a measuring cup. Like, none of those things I have any emotion about. This could be that just the same. And so I would normalize, neutralize, and then decide on purpose, like how I want to think about myself. And that was the moment where it's like, there's no room for perfectionism here. There's just no room for that. I refuse to stand at the scale and tell myself things I didn't do. Now, am I willing to talk about the things I didn't do? Yeah, I am, but not there.
Right.
Right. Like, there's no point in doing it there. It's like, that's basically like saying this number, like, I blame you, things I didn't do. It's like, what's the point of that? So right. I really like, that is the one place I absolutely refuse. Like, that's the place I'm going to manage my mind, around the scale. So I know you've done like work. I want to go back to self-love with you a little mm-hmm. bit. And you talked a little bit about like self-doubt and stuff like that, but what does it mean to you to have self-love, and why is it important in weight loss specifically? Because I think we like don't always understand why it matters.
Right. Right. For me, self-love is accepting me as I am right now. Like, in this moment in my life, and not like we're like, okay, when I get to, you know, goal weight, I'm going to be so happy and I'm going to love myself and I'm going to love all this stuff about me. But we can do that now. Like, when I first started with, so that's why I joined No BS, is for, you know, there was a lot of self-doubt. There was a lot of self-loathing. There was like a lot of negative self-talk. And so that self-love course was, and is still gold. Like, I still go back to it. Cause there are days where, you know, the negative self-talk does come in. There are days. And so to me, self-love is accepting me as who I am right now and loving me unconditionally. There's no conditions to my love for me. Just like there's no conditions, like I don't have any conditions for the love for my husband or my mom or my sister, my brother, my dad. Like, I don't have any conditions for them. Why am I having conditions for me? And so just loving myself wholly right now. And it's important to weight loss because, oh my gosh, self-love is like the important thing in weight loss. Like, why lose weight and still talk shitty to yourself? Like, it makes it 10 times harder to lose the weight. And you know what? Our weight loss journey can be fun. We can enjoy it. And so, you know, loving yourself where you are right now, no conditions, is amazing. It does take work. I'm not saying, you know, it's not always easy, but it is possible. And it is when you get to the point where you know, are practicing the self-love, practicing like the positive affirmations to yourself, you know, actually talking to yourself in a loving way, it makes weight loss so much enjoyable. And it's lovely. It's lovely.
And so when you say like unconditional, that doesn't mean you don't get frustrated with yourself, right? Okay. That doesn't mean like, or with like you mentioned your partner, that doesn't mean you're not angry at them or like passionately loving them. Like, the gamut of feelings are in play.
Mm-hmm. But oh yeah.
Fundamentally, you trust you can go back to loving
Right. Oh yeah. There are many times where I'm frustrated with myself. I was frustrated with myself this morning for something that I did. And yeah, you come back to self-love. I know, yes, I can be frustrated. Yes, I can be disappointed, but I still can come back to the, self-love. Self-love doesn't mean like you're just rainbows and daisies all the time, but it's all of it. It's all of it. It's all the feelings, all the emotions. And then at the end of the day, it's the self-love. That's the last, you can go back to that. And being able to have that, being able to feel all the array of feelings and still come back to love is amazing.
I'm glad you brought up feelings, because the feelings work is really so huge for me. I was so resistant to feeling my feelings and had to do so much work to overcome that. And I prided myself, and I think you might be similar, so I want you to chime in too. I prided myself. I was so contained and controlled and strong and powerful. And I literally just identified as this strong person. And in my mind, strong person meant not having wide array of feelings. It's I got everything. I'm so in control. And in OBS, I was really challenged in that it's not about control. It's about fully experiencing your feelings, the whole gamut of them. And I had kind of gotten sick of diving into feelings at the point that I was about to eat all the time. It felt like I had all these thoughts about that, and it felt so dire, and I was desperate in that moment to desperate to not eat. And I don't know, it just wasn't working for me. So then instead I decided to practice feeling feelings, period. And so I started with good ones. And so that opened the door to oh, this contained strong person actually could feel this wide array of emotions. So for example, I kind of started with allowing my heart to be flooded with love for our two rescue German shepherds. Mm-hmm. And the feeling, the amazingness of the relationship I had with these two rescues and watching them change from these defensive, sort of aggressive creatures into these loving, snuggly creatures. And I allowed my heart to love them. But then we lost both of them in 2019, and the profound sadness that engulfed me. Oh, that was all the feelings that I tried to avoid, was that profound sadness. And I realized the sadness was evidence of how much I loved them. And then it came from such a good place. The sadness came from my love. And it was almost the gift I gave myself was the sadness, because the gift I gave myself was the profound love. And all of a sudden I realized that was this huge turning point for me. The yin and the yang of it is if I'm raging angry at my spouse, it's because I'm super passionate about them. If it's there's two sides of every coin and both sides are worth experiencing. And then I had to set about practicing experiencing both sides of those coins. And so that was the work, was sitting in that, those feelings. And I used the No BS feelings wheel, which is on the worksheet page. Here I go again, people. This is my day. I used the No BS feelings wheel on the worksheet page. It's at the bottom of the worksheet page. And that kind of helped me, because the way the wheel is set up, you can kind of see the opposite. If you identify as being super passionate, you can keep kind of see the opposite, rage or anger. And so I would literally see the feeling I felt and go to the opposite and say, this is here, this anger or sadness or shame or whatever it is, because you spend a lot of time in this other place. And this is the exact opposite of that. So of course, if you're willing to go all the way to this extreme on the wheel, you're going to go to this extreme too. So that's kind of what I did to practice feeling feelings. How do you practically practice feeling feelings?
Well, like you, like I thought, you know, I needed being strong. You don't feel your feelings. You don't show them. And I'm like, I'm the oldest child. So I'm like, my siblings call me like the second mom. And for the longest time, I had to like be strong. Like I felt like I needed to be strong because they're watching me. Sorry. See, I'm getting emotional. This is the day. This is the day. We're feeling our feelings today.
Here's a tissue for you.
And so I was never like, and my mom never showed emotion. And so it's like from my childhood, I didn't know what feeling the feelings was. And so here I am in OBS. I'm like, what the fuck? I have to feel my feelings. Like I have to cry. Like what? And so I have learned and still learning that vulnerability is not a weakness. It is actually a superpower. And it's so like freeing and empowering that it's just like, oh yes. But yes, feeling the feelings. It is, you know, it sometimes it's uncomfortable because I'm just not used to sitting there and actually being, you know, sad and crying and all that stuff. And my husband, he actually recently told me, he's like, you've been crying a lot. I kind of like it. And I'm like, I'm learning to feel my feelings.
And so, I love it.
He's noticed that I am, you know, I'm more vulnerable with him. Like even I didn't show my feelings for him. I had to be strong for him too. So it's just, Nobias has taught me a lot about, you know, being a woman and being you can still be a strong woman and still cry and still be vulnerable. And yeah, I think vulnerability is a superpower. So yeah.
So, I mean, if you were going to take like all that we've talked about so far, right back to the deep dive into the basics pathway and like connect some of these dots to like basics 2.0, 24-hour planning, and like big ass action. How do you apply like feeling feelings or that kind of thing inside of the basics?
Well, we all know the basics. And so feeling the feelings, like there's when I, so my data for the week, like this morning, I really felt the feelings because of, you know, like I said, I was up today. So I felt the feeling. There was an array of feelings that I went through. And it was like, first was like frustration. And then it was like, okay, how are we going to work this out? Like, what is the next thing? And then, so it's just like being able to allow those things to come and to, you know, sit there in the feeling. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay. And to know that it's okay. Like the feeling, our feelings, it's a normal human experience. This is what humans experience, the array of feelings. And it can be the array of feelings in 5 minutes. And so when you are, you know, applying the basics, you know, you're making your plan. You have feelings about your plan. Like, is your plan, is it doable? Is it not? We have feelings about like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm feeling great about this. And then you go into doable hunger. You have feelings about doable hunger. You know, we have our urges. And urges is a feeling. So you're feeling your feelings when you are sitting there and in an urge. So feelings are everywhere.
Totally. And like inside the basics, it's like the thing that happens for me always, like if you think about water, sleep, doable hunger planning, the one feeling I basically had 24/7, like, and I still have a lot, is judgment. Like it's judging if I have planned enough, if I planned right, if I've gotten enough sleep. Like literally in the morning, every morning, my partner asks me like, how'd you sleep? And I like instantly judge like not enough or right. Like enough. It's like, well, what makes enough anyway? Like it's always enough because it's the amount of sleep I got. Like I'm awake, so it must have been enough. And so I realized how much like judgment was inside of each basic for me, like every day, all day when I was a new member. And even now, lots, like instantly, I'm just like, I didn't plan correctly. I didn't plan right for the day. I should have known. I practice every one of those things over and over again. And I have to stop and remind myself, like, oh, put on the brakes there, sister, with the judgment. Like, all that happened is you wrote words on a page that you thought you would eat and you didn't. That's it.
Yep.
Or you ate more, or you slept less, or whatever it is. Like, this is not like some sort of moral judgment on you as a human being. This is literally just like the facts of the day. Just like I drove 20 miles to town, no different. Like, I wrote something down. I either did or didn't do it. It's that simple. Right. But the basics allowed for me to like really connect to the self-judgment, really see how often I was judging myself, all the diet thinking I had about like what could or couldn't work for weight loss. In fact, I had a client yesterday working one-on-one with clients, and she was talking about like, well, you can't lose weight eating a donut in the break room. And I was like, like inside my head, I was like, okay. Like, but we worked on it for her, right? Like, I didn't want to pass on my own thoughts and feelings. I want her to work through it for herself. But in reality, it's like, yeah, I'm losing the weight eating the donut in the break room. I have no break room, but I'm still eating the donut, right? Okay. Like not every day, but once in a while. So that judgment, it's just so pervasive. And where we meet ourselves is like in those basics when you're doing them every day and you're willing to feel your feelings while you're doing the basics, right. You can like, it comes full circle, right? I mean, like that's the best opportunity. This doesn't have to be like digging up, like you are, you know, got a shovel digging up the past. It's like,
right.
Just sit in the basics today and you're going to find right. Something to feel a feeling on.
Definitely.
We have a question in the Q&A. Are each of us bottom line moderation or deep divers?
Good question. So I, right now, so I'm different in every season of my life, I like to say. In this season, I am a moderation mama. But there was a time where I was a deep dive diva. But you know, it comes and goes in season. So right now I'm a moderation mama.
Okay. And I also used to identify as a deep diver. And then I realized how much perfection was wrapped in that, that I had a story that I had to consume everything and all of it was there for me to do. And it was like, I was doing that all the time, you know? And I realized like, oh, there is no perfection. The thing that's going to be the most impactful is the thing I'm actually willing to do. And so to a certain extent, I've become a basic bitch because I realize like I'm always just working on that next 1 pound. And to do that, I need something very doable this week to work on. Like my long-term goal is out there and I'm working towards it. I really don't think about it ever. I'm always thinking about this week's 1 or 2 pounds. And so to me, that just keeps me in that moment. So like whatever it is like the most basic thing in this moment that I can do that actually is going to get me to my this week's goal. So I realized like the total deep dive wasn't big picture. It was supporting me. Little picture, it wasn't supporting me today. The basics were like that bottom line was.
Right.
And like, what do you do? Like you wake up, and you're like, hey, I'm in weight loss today, right? Like, so what's your plan? Like, how do you decide what you're going to commit to doing today?
So in my morning routine, I journal, like, what are my, minimum baseline things today? And so I write about them. And I rate them. Also, so if they're not an 8 or better, then that comes off the list, because if it's not an 8 or better, then I'm definitely not going to do it. Like I said, doable, easy enough to do it and hard like it's going to be hard not to do it. It's that easy. So, so I definitely write about it every morning, and I don't spend 20 minutes writing about it. It's like 5 minutes. What am I committed to do? Then I rate them. And then if they're 8 or better, that's great. And of course the 4 basics are in there, but it's only like 2 or 3 things. I do not like commit to like 5 or 10, you know, 5 or 6, like that is, to me, that's not doable for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I work. So, you know, it has to be easy. It has to be doable. So yeah, that's what I do in the morning to kind of see what I'm working on, in that day. And I like that you said that you're focusing on, you know, the day and the week, not the whole, you know, cause sometimes I can get in my way. Like I'll think about like the whole month, like, no, we're just going to focus on today. What can I commit to today? And not worry about tomorrow, cause I can commit to something different tomorrow if I want to. So
yeah, I think that's really powerful work. And it's been the thing that moves the needle for me on the scale the most is like, when I go too far out on like my long-term goal, I get all focused on like, oh, what's my body going to look like then after losing 150 pounds? And like, how, you know, am I going to think I'm sexy or all these things? It's like, what I've taught myself is that really my mindset shifts like a little tiny bit every day anyway. So like, I have no clue what she's going to think like. I know fundamentally how to be a little part of her today though. And that's the important part to me is like, I'm crafting her. Like I am her now. And so like, yeah, I focus on her out there, but for me, the future is tonight at dinner. The future is tomorrow morning when I wake up. Right. Like future me is tomorrow, is this week. And so like, how am I her today? Even on the most minuscule level. And that is just like fun to me. Like, I want to be her now. So then when I get to that number, I just like, it's all filled in the blanks. And I'm just like, whoa, boom, I'm her, you know, as opposed to like, she's some ideal over there. And in this body, I can't be that ideal. It's like, well, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Totally her now. I just don't have her body, but every other part of me is like, I'm leading my way to her. She's me. Like she is not somebody separate from me. And so I like love the idea of just like finding one thing. Like I'm a little more fly by the seat of my pants than you, like with the journaling. I totally journal. Everybody knows this, but I'm much more like laying in bed. What's one thing I can do today? And I'm like, boom, eat a little less, like just eat a little less. Like that's the first thing my brain goes to these days is like 100%. I know I can eat a little less. So I think about what that looks like for the day. I even check in with my body. Like before I swing my legs out of bed, I am like, do I even notice anything? Like, what are the sensations in there right now? You know? And I used to think I woke up hungry because that was the story my mom told, like, I'm a really early riser and she would say I always wanted to eat. And that was like her big story to everyone. Like at 4, we taught Julie how to get her cereal. And like, she would be out there having her breakfast at 5 in the morning. And then we taught her how to cook her eggs at like 7 or whatever. It's like, it turns out I'm really not that hungry in the morning. That was just a habit that they kind of created for me. And so I just had to like unlearn old habits and create like new Insta space where it's like, I don't overthink it. I'm just like, what do I know I can do? Eat a little less. What do I know I can do? Ask myself, have I had enough? And not just have I had enough food? Have I had enough scrolling? Have I had enough TV tonight? Have I had enough sitting at my desk and I run over and jump on the elliptical for even just 2 or 3 minutes? Have I had enough laundry pile? I ask myself that all the time. Have I had enough of this? Like, I do this with cleaning too. Like, you know, like, have I had enough feeling like the shower floor is a little slippery? Then I guess I want to clean it a little sooner than normal. You know, I practice these no BS concepts
Yes.
On a like holistic level, so that I don't make every single facet of my life about eating and food. So right. Once I became a person who asked, have I had enough? Then it became easier to ask it about food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have I had enough Netflix? Yeah. Like, what have you had enough? Like, if you thought about it that way, what's one thing that you could think of like last night? What have you had enough of by late in the afternoon?
That's a good question. Last night, so I went to go visit my dad, and I actually, you know, I don't think I asked it in that way, but I had had enough, like, I have had enough family time today. So it was time for me to go home. And so I like that. Have I had enough, not only with food, but with other things?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Ashley, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's so good. Like, have I had enough family time? Yes. I'm like, have I had enough texting? Like, texting interrupts like everything sometimes. Like, my mom sending pictures of their horses and all these things and their cats. And I love her. She's not doing anything wrong. Right. But sometimes I'm like, have I had enough constant interruption all evening? And I'll say, right, like, love you, mom. Talk to you tomorrow. And that kind of like closes the conversation. And then mm-hmm. I just remind myself, I love her. I want her to keep doing it, but sometimes I've had enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's like such a fun practice to realize. Corinne teaches these concepts as it relates to weight loss, but so many of us, these are concepts that would apply to our life. I saw Julie Coleman said, have I had enough games on my iPad? Dude, ooh, I'm with you, sister. That's totally me.
Yes.
I have to ask myself that like 3 times a day, not just like one, that like first thing.
Right.
Yeah. Right after dinner and right before bed, like, have I had enough of this? Like, seriously. And, you know, I don't hang my clothes up all the time. I always have a clothes pile. I'm like, have I had enough of the clothes pile today? Like,
you sound like me. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, at some point, it's just like, these are great concepts. And then once you become a person who asks yourself some of these questions associated with the basics and apply them to your life, it makes it less weight loss focused and more like life shifting focus, right, which for me really helped.
Right. Yes. Yes. No BS. It's so much more than like the weight loss. It's so much more. It's so much more. I've applied a lot of, you know, a lot, the 4 N's, like, I apply that to everything in my life. And yeah, it's just, they're life skills. They're not only weight loss skills. So that's, yeah.
Totally. I mean, literally, we're in the process of selling our house and buying a new house. And something weird happened with like the inspection of our house. And we got like this feedback from the buyer, and I start bawling. I'm on the phone with the realtor. This is yesterday afternoon. I'm bawling. And I literally, all of a sudden, I bust out to her. I said to her, look, I know they're just words on the page, but I'm having all these feelings. And she started cracking up. And I realized like, that's all it was. Like, they were words. I had thoughts about what they meant. What I made it mean was the deal was going to fall through and then we weren't going to get our new house. Mm-hmm. And I like totally just applied, like, of course that's normal. You're invested in this transition. And like, what do you want to neutralize? They're just words on the page. Right. And like, my next best thought was, I trust this is going to work out. Like, I just am trusting that this, I'm wrong about this assumption and it's going to work out. And this literally happened at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday when I had a little break between one-on-one clients and no BS. And I'm bawling and like telling the realtor, I know they're just words on the page. She thought I was on crack, but it's fine. Oh, I said, Julie just said she Corinne'd a woman at the gym yesterday, right? Like, this is the reality of the situation with no BS. Yeah. How you can apply this all to your everyday life. So yeah. You guys, obviously the Q&A is open if you have any questions, but I just want to make sure everyone on this call knows that like, these, think of all the ways that Ashley and I have shared with you right now, the ways that we have used the path, the courses and the pathways, right? Not totally weight loss centric, but also applying them to our lives, our people, our families, our day-to-day situations. No BS, like, can transform your life. Those basics and what the fundamentals are behind it really have so much incredible power if you give it power. So I just want to encourage everyone to kind of, when you leave this call, sorry, I'm all the cries and all the snot happening all at once, which is so funny. But when you leave this call, I want you to think about all the ways that these concepts and these pathway courses can like affect the fundamentals of your life, including weight loss. Any other like super tips and tricks that like we haven't touched on, but like you just want to share? And does anybody have any specific questions that you want to put in the Q&A for this last couple of minutes that we all have together?
There's a question from Linda. She says, do you ladies get coached to or have coaches?
Ooh, good question. Do you?
I have a coach. Yes. Coaches have coaches.
Coaches have coaches.
We have shitty thoughts too.
Yeah. So when I was an OBS woman, I worked one-on-one with Coach Betsy. I did that for a year. And then I became an OBS coach. I got a personal coach and I've worked with the same coach the whole time. And then every once in a while, I weave in a coach that's much different than me as a person. Like my one coach is very focused on like the me you all know. And then I have a coach that's like much more metaphysical and that kind of thing, which really helps round me out. As you know, I'm a sex and relationship certified coach as well. And that sort of connecting to body and emotion is super important in that work. And so she helps me like stay in that space. What kinds of things do you work on with your coach?
So I work a lot with my coach, the self-doubt, like becoming a coach myself, there is a whole nother level of self-doubt. So we are working on that. And just like you guys, I talk shitty to myself sometimes. And I'm just saying it's normal. Coaches talk shitty to themselves too. We do not have, you know, we are not perfect. So I want to say that. And so we talk a lot about that. And the self-doubt, we rarely talk about weight loss. It's rarely, you know, rarely talk about weight loss, but yeah, it's just a lot about, you know, this self-love, that self-love course. So like I said, yeah, I've been working with a coach before I got certified as a coach. She's outside of NoBS, but yeah, so now we're talking about the whole other level of self-doubt that I have as an OBS coach. Yeah. So
Jessica asked Julie, where can I get sex and relationship coaching here? I do one-on-one coaching with NoBS women. You can sign up for one-on-one coaching at the one-on-one coaching page. And you get to choose what you work on. Lots of women work on weight loss and lots of women work on all kinds of things. I have quite a few clients that only work on sex and relationships. I did a year certification on women's empowerment, sex and intimacy, relationship coaching. And so that is my primary focus. And I really love doing that work. So if you want to do that work, you can sign up to coach with me. So each of us has a little bit of a specialty and like different expertise. We all are life coach certified. So we're all qualified to coach on anything. And then some of us have little different certifications. Some of us have like different background related things. Like I know Coach Kathy's really into tapping and I know Betsy's doing a new certification in, I'm not sure if it's yoga or something like that, but each of us has like, area of focus that we're really interested in. I know Coach Judith is trauma. And so I think it's really cool to be able to share that with you. You got a beautiful comment from Linda in the chat saying that color is beautiful on you, Ashley.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for being here. Ashley, thank you so much for sharing yourself with all of us and being such a safe space to share myself with you and everyone too. It's really special to be with you all in this way. I just want to thank you for your time. And we're out in the membership. You can find us in Ask Coaches. You can find us in Facebook. But if you have real questions, come to Ask Coaches, the one-on-one coaching program. Ashley meets new members a lot. There are so many ways to find us. Reach out. But really, Ask Coaches is the place to go. If you have questions or need support, we are here for you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you. This was so fun.
So fun. Good to see everyone. Thank you all. Bye now.
Bye.